Thank you, Ray. The title of my presentation today is The Solar Corridor as a Crop System for Improving Soil Health and Sustainability. The Department of Natural Resources and the University of Missouri and USDA IARS people have really been working hard on this with me. And now, can I tell, let's see, how I push this button, I think, to move. Let's see if this works here. Okay. Got some notoriety, I guess, by the solar corridor was pictured on the cover of the Agronomy Journal in volume 106, issue 5. And the fellow that took a picture of that is here. He'll be speaking next. But we're growing clover, oats, in between corn rows, in between wide corn rows, and we think our system that I will explain within the next 14 minutes offers a potential for extended duration of carbon dioxide capture, extended soil cover to capture sunlight, rainfall without soil compaction or erosion, and for residual N, of fixing atmospheric nitrogen, of storing it in the clover plants and soil biota, and hosting specific mycorrhizae, sourcing and feeding a healthy soil microbiological community with a proactive pool of active carbon. That's what we envision the solar corridor being able to do, and that's what it would look like. It's what one version of it looks like. And it's one of the problems we had originally was when you have corn rows this wide, you have a weed problem, could have a weed problem. Well, here we can kind of address that by what we plant, what the crop is we plant on what we call the solar quarter floor. The oats here are on what we call the solar quarter floor, and the corn rows are providing the walls of the solar quarter. Now here's another crop that have been growing in between the rows at the university. The cowpeas are a floor crop that offers a different approach toward the same basic objective. And the many species and varieties available for this application enables the grower to custom design the approach to prioritize any of the previous objectives in a sustainable manner. Now, here is the schematic drawing of what the solar corridor really looks like. Is it that we have, if you have 30-inch equipment is pretty popular in the area where I'm from. And so we have, instead of having rows every 30 inches apart, we have a twin row every 60 inches. And that enables a different kind of light environment for each of the leaves on the corn plant. The lower leaves are no longer hidden. They're no longer deprived of instant sunlight. And then we have one cropping system says we have on the floor crop to catch that light that falls and catch the rainfall that falls and to keep soil in place, a floor crop, say like a winter grain crop with a clover in it, those could contribute greatly towards soil health. And now on the right hand we have a aerial view of a twin row planting pattern that we would like to have, but the data I'm going to present did not have the benefit of that kind of planting, that plant spacing like that. I would think that would improve our system. So I'm going to give now the yield data we're going to give. I want you to know where it came from, how we did it. We have we measured our response to this system that I just showed by four different very high-yielding hybrids, very popular hybrids. D wasn't a popular hybrid, but the four good high-yielding hybrids. And one of them did not respond, was selected from 179 hybrids we screened that did not respond to this particular environment. So out of those groups, I selected one, a real high-yielding variety, to represent that group, which is most of the hybrids. the 21 hybrids out of that trial, the screening trials that did work, that did look like they would perform in the system, or represent three of the hybrids we'll have in the trials here. And then replicated three times, and the randomized block, the treatments were, you know, single row or twin row. Single rows on 30 or 36 inch centers. There were some sites here that had 36 inch row equipment, so therefore we had 72 inch centers. So if we had it, so our treatment was 60 inches if we had a 30 inch planting system, and 72 inch if we had a 36 inches. Now, all these treatments were north and south rows between 40 and 41 degrees north latitude, and I do think that the latitude we're at could have some effect on what kind of the light environment, how the light environment changes. So, okay, now, so here was our result. Now, these are the seminal yield results of the solar quarter. The other yield results, it can be seen in other literature elsewhere, but this is, and I'll quote that at the end of the session where it is, but one of the hybrids, what we see in this is, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on yield data here because I'm on another presentation later, more on the yield data, but one of the hybrids did not like the solar quarter. You know, it just doesn't like it. It doesn't like those wide rows. I would say it maybe the lower leaves, they don't do much in that variety. But three of the hybrids did respond to it. And those were the predicted, those would be predicted from our preliminary screening trials what would happen to those. Okay, but that was just one, that was all across all 12 environments and across all four populations. And some populations, if you might recall, might be suboptimal populations, but that's what they were. Now, we might wonder what would happen in our yield levels of the controls there were about 180 bushel. We might wonder what would happen if you were doing this at a different yield level or different circumstances. So we pulled out some of the lower yielding sites, the lower yielding sites, and we just elevated our yield level somewhat, but had the same results. Hybrid A doesn't like the solar quarter, B, C, and D do. And but one of the problems with this is three of the populations might well be suboptimal populations. You know, but this had all four populations in. What would happen if we took out three of the lower yielding populations and hit the highest yielding plant population? We had the same thing. One hybrid did not like the solar quarter, and the other three did. That's basically what those slides have said. And I'll spend more time on that paper later, but we believe that the properly designed, developed, and deployed solar quarter crop system does contribute to essentially all interdisciplinary components of soil health and enhances the sustainability of our most finite resource. And that's our land. We think our land is our most finite resource. And I just think that we have so many different options that we can, different plant species that we'd like to explore, and we haven't explored yet. I'm an interdisciplinary corn production agronomist. The only thing I know, only crop I know is corn. So that's one reason corn is the main crop there. But I would suspect that sunflowers and I know soybeans, there are different crops that could be used as the main crop, but that's what our data is on corn. But from a soil health standpoint, we can really help the soil health, I would think, by what crops we plant on the solar quarter floor. Can we cover that ground, cover the soil, so we have like soil cover year-round? And one thing we found is that, and I hope maybe the next speaker might comment on that, is that we affect the amount of carbon, we can affect the amount of carbon that the roots exudate into the rhizosphere. Whereas I was trying to yield data, I was trying to get where I want to get everything I can into grain yield, but theoretically we probably can't do all of that, and so I'm thankful that we do in fact have add more carbon to the soil resource we have. And for further study on this, I would say that the four symposium articles in Agronomy Journal that we have here would give a lot more, give some background on this. And but we think, I just wanted people to know what the solar corridor is, and I hope we'll have some time for some questions before we're done this afternoon, so that you do know exactly what we're talking about. And the key is, some people said this won't work. Well, no, it doesn't work on the average of all the hybrids, all the modern hybrids we have today. But if you select the hybrids, it does work on a hybrid-specific basis. So the first thing I do is select the hybrids before we decide if we want to do this or not, and see if our screening trial. And I think that almost everywhere we could select the hybrid that would perform this way for them, but I don't know that yet. This work was done at 40 to 41 degree latitude. Work's being done now at the University of Missouri, just a little bit further south than that. I hope we will have some data on that in subsequent years here on the work that's going on right now to be done on that. How much time do I have?
You probably go another 2 minutes before we do questions.
Okay, all right, okay. I think you can see what we're trying to utilize the efficiency of the sun to capture the sun more effectively. And to do that, we have to select the varieties that, in fact, do respond to that, and then utilize that land between the cornrows. Well, it'd be nice if we harvest a cash crop also, in addition, like winter wheat or winter small grain would be, or winter oilseed crop would be. But that's an opportunity for us to grow, to provide soil health benefits. And I just think that if we can put into the system those kind of crops, we really will enhance the soil health and sustainability of our soils. And that's all I had. And take any questions we have.
Yeah. If you have any questions, we've got time for a couple of them. How many locations did you have?
On the Seminole data, I just had 12 locations.
Okay. Okay.
And those were on 7 different soil types that were representative of the soil types of East Central Illinois. And the response of those hybrids was consistent. Those hybrids, 3 of those hybrids responded across all 7 sites, the 7 different soils, and one of them never did respond to. But that's what that is.
Okay.